welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your host, me, Raylene, and...
Me! It's Ariel. Still my birthday.
It's the same day, folks. You've learned our secret. That's funny. Yeah, we're back now to do our recommendations episode. We have four very exciting recommendation requests, and we're gonna... you know, give you some great picks.
Yeah.
Are you feeling good about this one?
I actually am feeling good about this one. I think I have some good picks here. Two books that I kind of haven't talked as much about. One, I don't know if I have talked about. And then two that I've talked a bit about before on the podcast, but I thought they were perfect.
It's bound to happen.
What can you do?
Yeah. Okay. So I am just going to start us off with a request from Lauren, because she is asking for something with fall vibes. Let me read you the request. Hello, I'm looking for a great Halloween time book. I realize it may be a bit early, but I like a nice building and anticipation. Yeah, me too. It's September and I'm already reading horror books. I do not like horror or anything that's extremely scary or graphically violent. I do enjoy a good mystery or thriller, and I don't mind if the book is a little creepy. Just nothing that's outright horror. If nothing else, anything with some really good fall vibes would be great. Thanks very much.
Yeah, I like it.
I like this one a lot too, because I'm always looking for books with fall vibes. This one is a little tricky though, because it's fall vibes, but not too scary. So I couldn't go into my horror book collection as deeply as I may have wanted to, but...
I'm wondering if I failed at this, because the one I have is, it's pretty freaking scary, but it's not, it's more creepy.
Okay, tell me what yours is now, I want to know.
Okay, I have talked about this book on the podcast before, but I think only once. Okay. So it is The Perfect Book, and it is... Through the Woods.
I love this book.
By Emily Carroll. I had to bring a graphic novel in.
Mm-hmm. It's been a while.
God, you know what, Raylene? I just really love graphic novels. Everyone, I'm putting this out into the universe. One day, I will publish a graphic novel.
Oh,
and it will
be
so exciting. Okay, but regardless. This is Through the Woods by Emily Carroll. This is a book that I read many years ago. It came out in, I think, 2014. Which, God... like I said, it's still my birthday and I just feel so old. 2014, my God. This is a, it's a short story collection, I guess.
It's five three, stories,
four,
right?
Five. Yeah, it is five stories. How did you know that?
What's because I love this book.
Well, this is great. We can recommend it together. Mm-hmm. So it is five stories. They're all drawn by Emily Carroll. So they do have a similar aesthetic, but they all have kind of a unique art to the story.
Yeah.
It is very dark. Like, I don't mean like, well, it is dark, like content-wise, but I mean like aesthetically. It's a very dark book. There's a lot of black ink in this book, which I feel like is really rare, actually, for graphic novels. It must have been expensive to print.
Oh, definitely.
it's very glossy, shiny pages. It's a beautiful quality book. The cover, like, I don't know what the heck they used on the cover.
I know, it's all
like,
gritty.
It is gritty. I love it. I just, like, as an object, I really have always loved this book. But yes, this is five stories, and they're kind of like fairy tales or folk tales about different spooky things. And there's one story in here that is really scary, the last one. But Lauren, you can skip that one if you want. But yeah, they're really beautiful. Like, this is stunning artwork. Emily Carroll, hit me up. Is it the last story that's really scary? I'm just gonna confirm.
For some reason, I feel like the third one was really scary, but maybe I just don't remember it. This is actually a book that I have on my shelf to reread in October.
I should really reread this too in October, because, you know, it's a graphic novel. It won't take you that long to reread. Okay, the scary one is The Nesting Place. That is the last one. I mean, they're all pretty spooky and scary. So,
and some of them are kind of ambiguous too. Like, some of them you kind of have to like take it like, I don't know what really just happened, but you kind of have
the
to
last
figure it
one
out.
Is the one that has this whole thing.
Oh,
I'm
my
showing Raylene a photo of it. So that's the like scary horror one. But yes, these are, I don't know what else to say about it, except that I don't want to spoil the stories at all, because they're kind of short. The whole collection is only, I don't know, I guess like 150 pages, maybe 200 pages. And so each story isn't that long. So I don't want to spoil them at all, because you just got to go into them. But they're beautiful. They're just beautiful. They're scary. They're isolated. They're cold. They're spooky. I think that this is the perfect Halloween read. It is scarier than reading a book, in my opinion, because you get some of the visuals, mm-hmm. but not as scary as like watching a movie or something, because it's still just, you know, it's hand drawn.
Yeah. And I'm just drawings on a page.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, someone drew this. It's not like I just watched them film an actual ghost. Which sometimes happens to me in my mind. Actually, this is kind of a bonus. If you're starting to get into the Halloween vibes, by the time this episode comes out too, I think it'll be mid-October. Yeah. And you want a scary movie recommendation. Raylene, let's both give a recommendation of a movie that we recommend as like a Halloween movie. My number one, well, I think we both recommend Misery. I think we've talked about that before. Such a scary movie. So good. But my number one is The Outsiders, starring Nicole Kidman. I was saying this to Raylene the other day. This is a movie that I really, really love. It's kind of older, so I don't hear that many people talking about it. Hold on.
Was that The Others?
Sorry, yeah, The Others.
Yeah, I watched it. I actually watched it recently. It came out in 2001.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good.
Oh, good. Okay. It's from 2001. So yeah, it's like 19 years old. It stars Nicole Kidman, and it's about this family who lives in this big manor in like the English countryside. And during World War, I think, II. But
yeah, I think it takes place in the 40s.
Yeah, I think it takes place in the 40s. So the dad has left to go to the war, and it's just the mom, Nicole Kidman, and her two kids. And her two kids are allergic to the sun. So the, you know, classic, just to make it scary, it's like this old house, and the curtains are always drawn. And suddenly things get a little spooky. And I don't want to say anything else, because the fun thing about this is that there's a spooky plot twist. Actually, there's a couple of little plot twists, and it's scary as heck. It scares me, but not in like I'm scarred way. Just in a kind of like, while you're watching it, you're spooked, and then you end it, and you feel okay.
Yeah, it's definitely not like horrific. I watched it and was just like, I never felt like, oh my god, I'm scared. There's a couple of like abrupt moments that were kind of like, yes, whoa, like a jump scare kind of, but mainly just like in a door closing too hard kind of way. Like not really anything actually scary happening.
Exactly. It's more of this like a scary ambiance and mood and tone. Mm-hmm. I love that movie.
It kind of has like a Hill House vibe to it too. Like the big house and like something spooky's going on, and like Nicole Kidman always wants to keep all the doors locked because she doesn't want her kids accidentally getting burned by the sun and all this stuff. So it's very strange. I like it. It had a very mysterious atmosphere. Well,
I'm glad that you liked it.
Yeah, my recommendation is more of a like thriller than a like supernatural horror movie, but I just love it so much. And that movie is Hush. It's this. Have you heard of it?
I haven't seen it. Okay. I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, actually, the lead actress was in the Haunting of Hill House TV show, and she's great. The main character is this woman who lives by herself out in the woods. She's a writer, and she's deaf.
Disaster.
Yeah, she's a deaf writer living in the woods, and basically, she's very secluded. She has like two neighbors like that are married that live a little ways away, and they're the only people she knows, really. And so there's, you know, maybe 5-10 minutes of just like calm opening to the movie, but then most of the movie is this man trying to get into her house to kill her, and she can't hear him, so it's very stressful.
Because this reminds me obviously of A Quiet Place.
Yeah, it's like, kind of has similar vibes because she's deaf and mute, so she, you know, she doesn't talk, and so it's very stressful because she can't like call for help, and like he cuts the power and all this stuff, so she can't you know, she can't text anyone on her laptop, and it's just like, oh, it's very stressful, but I love it so much. And it's kind of like an indie thriller, so it has a cool vibe to it. So I highly, highly recommend that if you want something like fast-paced and scary that's kind of different from
that's movies. Really cool. All right, well, I will have to watch that one because I have not seen that one.
Yeah,
that's
well, I guess I should recommend a book too.
Yes,
so my pick is one of my favorite books. It's a classic, but I feel like a lot of people probably just haven't read it or have overlooked it, and that is Psycho by Robert Bloch.
Ooh,
and this is great because it is kind of a twisted, like, mystery thriller without being too scary. What's especially fun is the beginning of the book. If you've seen the movie, it's obviously very similar to the movie. Very different from Bates Motel, which I also love. But
I love Bates Motel.
Bates Motel is
fun
great.
Show.
Yeah, but with Psycho, the book starts out following this woman who is at her job, and basically her her boss gives her a bunch of money to put in the bank, and she just decides to do a runner and take the money and run off. And then she, you know, she drives and drives and drives, ends up at this hotel where Norman Bates is running the show, and, you know, crazy stuff ensues. There's some murder, of course, but there's also some twisted psychological thriller type stuff going on, but it's very just like slow and creepy without being, you know, gratuitously violent or super scary. It's just kind of like thrilling, and it's really short. What I love about this book is that it's super short, so there's no filler. It's just like there's constantly stuff happening, and it's just like go, go, go until the end. There's no moments of boredom or like, you know, just hanging out. It's
totally,
it's intense, and but just the right amount of intense. Like, it's not too scary. If you've seen the movie, it's basically the exact same plot, but I highly recommend the book. It's phenomenal. So yeah,
I love that. I love that. That's a great pick. Well, I guess it's my turn. What do I have? What did I pick? All right, Faiza asks for a non-stressful book. The world is very stressful.
Yes.
And books are my escape from reality. I am looking for books that are calm and relaxing, with no tense or stressful moments. The less that happens in them, the better. Bonus points if it's by a non-male author. All right, well, what did you pick, Raylene?
Well, I'm interested. I had a really hard time with this because every single book I read is stressful. I don't know why. I just really enjoy stressful books, apparently. So I picked a book that is kind of the best I could come up with. It has a little bit of a tense moment later in the book, but that's bound to happen. It's Red, White, and Royal Blue by Casey McQuiston.
Okay.
So this book is just, it's the type of book that I feel like if you're sad and you read this book, you will feel better, because and that's like the circumstances that I read it under. I was very sad, and I was like to a friend, what should I read? I just need something to like take my mind off of all this terrible stuff that's happening. Just make me feel better. And she was like, this. She's like, there is a mild moment of tension later in the book, because it is a rom-com. That always happens. Yeah, you know, every single rom-com has that moment of, uh-oh, something bad is going on, but they always get through it. You know, it's a rom-com. You know it's going to get better.
Yeah.
So I haven't talked about this book in a long time. I talked about it back when I first started reading it, because that was at the very beginning of the podcast a year ago. Wow.
We're old.
This, we're so old. We've been doing this for a whole year. But this book is a romance between two men who are kind of enemies at the beginning. So it's like an enemies to lovers type of situation. The main characters are the son of the president of the United States, which is great because his mom is the president. I love it. She's the first female president. So that's a fun aspect to it as well. And then the other main character is a prince. So they're both, you know, political people, and they're in the spotlight, so their whole lives are being picked apart. Like, they talk about how they're like on the covers of magazines and stuff, and while I was reading it, I was like, that's crazy. But then I'm like, no, it's not. That's totally the life we live. Yeah, like, all the royals are always on covers. Exactly.
Prince Harry and Prince William, all
exactly of them. So it's basically like a fictional version of what the world is really like, and you know. So it's very interesting, because then it's these two main characters are, like I said, they're in the spotlight. And so, you know, they're constantly trying to marry off the prince character. Like, they want him to marry a nice girl and, you know, do what's right for the royal family.
Right.
But he's secretly gay and can't tell anyone, basically, because of his position. And it's just like, That's awful. And so they're both really frustrated and angry all the time. And they kind of hate each other for whatever reason. But then they start spending time together, and they kind of start up a secret friendship, which turns into a secret relationship. And it's just like so much fun. But since they are in the spotlight and it's political, there are some stressful things that happen in the book. But other than that, I promise it's a lot of fun. It's just a minor dip, but they get through it.
I love that. Well, I have two books. One that I think is really perfect for Faiza, but I've recommended it a lot, so I didn't want to just do this one. And it is Birds, Art, Life, Death by Kiel McClear. I think I've talked about this at least twice.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to go too far into it, but I do really think that this is actually the perfect book for you, Faiza, because, as I've mentioned before on the podcast, it is about a woman who, it's a memoir, it's nonfiction, and it's Kiel McClear's actual life. Her father gets really sick, and she gets really scared that he's gonna die. But he doesn't die. Like, at the beginning of the book, he totally becomes fine right away. And so it's sort of like, it's like what Faye is talking about, where the world is very stressful right now, so she wants something to relieve herself. That's exactly what Kyo goes through, where her father gets really sick, and so it brings a lot of anxiety to her life, and she's looking for stress relief and, like, a new take on life, and she starts bird watching. So the book is literally about a person who, like Faye, wants relief from the stress, and it's the calmest book I've ever read in my entire life. It's so chill and meditative and calm and relaxing, and it's about just this woman who goes bird watching for a year and what she learns about bird watching and what she learns about making art and stuff. I really enjoyed it. I think it's really beautiful. It's got some really great lines in it and stuff, so I really recommend that one. But the other one is, I don't know why I didn't grab it, I should have grabbed it, but it's a graphic novel, and it's Lost at Sea by Brian Lee O'Malley. Oh, so yeah. This is, she said, bonus points for a non-male author. Keo McClear is non-male, but Brian Lee O'Malley is a male. But that shouldn't hold you back. Men, they can write good books too. And Lost at Sea is a really cool book. It's short. It was his first graphic novel that he wrote. He wrote it but long before Scott Pilgrim versus the World came out and stuff. And it is super calm and exactly this kind of thing. It's, gosh, I read it so long ago that, you know when you read a book and it leaves an imprint of a feeling on you, but you don't really remember the plot?
Totally.
You know that feeling? That's kind of what happens. Let's see what happens here. The plot will, Goodreads will tell me the plot. Raleigh? I don't know how to pronounce that name. That's already where I'm off to a bad start. she doesn't have a soul. A cat stole it. At least that's what she tells people. At least that's what she would tell people if she told people anything. But that would mean talking to people. And the mere thought of social interaction is terrifying. How did such a shy teenage girl end up in a car with three of her hooligan classmates on a cross-country road trip? Being forced to interact with kids her own age is new and alarming proposition for... name? Raleigh? But maybe it's just what she needs. Or maybe it can help her find what she needs. Or maybe it can help her to realize that what she needs has been with her all along. So you can tell from that synopsis. All I remembered was that it was a road trip and that a lot of it happened at night and that it was very calm and a little bit like, you know, Perks of Being Wallflower night scenes vibes, yeah. That whole kind of thing. Totally. But let's, you know what? Let's do what we can. Let's read my old review. This review was written, I have no idea when. So many adorable cats. This is the story of an 18-year-old who is confused, which should be very relatable, since every 18-year-old is very confused. She funnels that confusion into a mad search for her soul that she believes is in a cat. It's good times. I really like Brian Lee O'Malley's illustrations. They're adorable and had fun with the story. My only complaint, is that I felt that it ended quite abruptly. I would have liked it to be longer, but oh well, I shall compensate by picking up Seconds, the author's newest novel, very soon. Well, and I sure did. That's perfect. Yes, so it is about this 18-year-old who, it seems, is very stressed. So maybe that's perfect for Faiza. And another graphic novel. I'm doing a great job with the graphic novels. Proud of myself.
You gotta do it. All right. Well, my next recommendation request comes from Elizabeth. And she says, I am moving and I'm looking for an audiobook recommendation. It can be a gripping thriller, a heart-stopping romance, or an obscure nonfiction, as long as it can keep my attention and make packing hell less hell-like. Get creative. Thank you so much, Lisa. I love this.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Elizabeth. I think you said Louisa. That's the one above it. It's Elizabeth.
No, I said Elizabeth.
Oh, okay. It doesn't matter. I'm not paying attention. I'm right there with Elizabeth. I'm having to move. You know what? I'm in denial about moving because I haven't started packing yet. Because I don't. The idea of packing up all these books just seems like a real nightmare to me.
Yeah, it's
and
no
I
good.
Don't want to do it. So at least Elizabeth is a couple steps ahead of me. What did you recommend for this one?
Well, I actually decided to pick a book that I read in the past couple of weeks. I didn't mention it in the last episode because I was saving it for this. So I listened to the audiobook for this as well, and it's The One by John Mars.
Ooh.
Yeah, this book is one that was recommended to me when I was asking for Black Mirror-esque books.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of John Mars's books seem to be along those lines. But this one was really good. I listened to the audiobook and it's just, it's a very quick read. And it's the type of thing, like, I was constantly listening to it. Like, if I was folding laundry, I was listening to it. If I was stretching, I was listening to it. If I was going for a walk, I was listening to this book. So I feel like it's perfect for Elizabeth, who is just, you know, doing monotonous things like packing and moving things around. The plot of this book, basically, it takes place, I guess, maybe in near future, as all of these things do. And there has been a test that has been created called Match Your DNA. And so basically, people will send in, you know, a swab of their DNA, and it matches them up with their one DNA match in the world, like who they are meant to be with according to their DNA.
Because apparently
this, this gene has been discovered that, like, can tell you who your one match is. And so it follows five different characters. So just forewarning, it's a little confusing at the beginning because it was a little hard to keep track of who was who, but once you get into it, it's okay. But it basically shows all the different ways that this is terrible, you know. This is not a good thing, because what's happening in this world is, you know, people are getting matched and then they're breaking up with the person that they have been with for 20 years because they weren't their match.
That's not necessarily the right answer. Really sounds like Black Mirror. Like,
yeah, exactly. So it's like Black Mirror for relationships. Like, there is one kind of relationship episode of Black Mirror that kind of reminds me of this too.
Yeah.
Where people go on, I can't remember exactly what that episode is, but that's besides the point. This is a very gripping, interesting book. It's like, you know, kind of speculative thriller situation, and it's very, very fun to read, but it's also very stressful. And one of the things that I love the most, like one of the character pairings, the guy basically is paired up with this woman, and she's a police officer and he's a serial killer, and they have no, like, she has no idea who he is. She's trying to hunt him down, but he's right there, and they got DNA matched together, and it's so stressful. So that's like, that's just one little glimpse, but there's five different, like, crazy situations that are happening in
that
the book.
Cool.
So it is very cool. I like it. I liked it a lot. Yeah, it was a great book.
That's awesome. Well, the one that I wanted to recommend first, I wanted to mention, like, in the last episode, that I'm reading More Than a Woman by Catelyn Moran, and her first book also, How to Be a Woman, is those two books, they're perfect, I think, for that kind of packing mood where you're kind of paying attention, maybe not fully paying attention, and you just
I listened to Bossy Pants by Tina Fey when I was moving.
Exactly the kind of vibe I'm talking about, where you're like, want to just laugh and have something positive on. I think that would be perfect. But the book that I wanted to recommend is one that I, again, like you, I talked about a couple episodes ago, but I haven't talked about it in a while, and it is 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Right Now by Jaron Lanier. So this was a book that I read earlier in the year, a couple months ago, and I just really loved this book. It made a big impact on me. I think it's very concise. I think the audio, and I listened to the audiobook. The audiobook is like 4.5 hours long or something like that, and it is so good. It's very, like I said, it's very concise, it's to the point, it never drags, I never was bored. It's funny, which is, I think, important for this kind of, you're moving and you're stressed and you just want something fun. It's funny and it's very interesting and compelling, and it makes you think about the world and your role on the internet and how you conceptualize of the internet and these companies, and how, what is the internet and social media doing to our souls and doing to our jobs and doing to politics and doing to our perception of ourselves and our, how we talk to other people. And it's all these, like, repercussions that I think sometimes we don't think about because we're just using the platforms and we're not thinking about the platforms. So for me, it's really important that we do think about these platforms. And, like, you know, really, and I've read a lot of books about this topic. But this one really stood out to me. It was really powerful. I really enjoyed it. So I really want more people to read it. I actually have a video coming out, well, by the time this podcast episode comes out, actually, it will have already come out, where I recommend 5 books about the internet. And this is one where I'm like, in the video, I'm like, please just freaking read this book. A lot of people, actually, I should talk about this because I've gotten a lot of people telling me to watch The Social Dilemma, the new documentary that came out on Netflix. I have watched it, don't worry, my friends, and I did enjoy it. And what's funny is Jaron Lanier is in the documentary.
Oh, cool.
Which makes perfect sense, because it's like, it's that move or that documentary is basically trying to tell you to delete your social media, and he wrote the book called Delete Your Social Media, you know. So so yeah, so if you liked that documentary, this, you'll definitely enjoy this. It made me think a lot and I learned a lot. All right,
very good.
Well, our final recommendation request comes from Louisa. She says, "So this feels like a very weird request, but kind of building on Big Book Fear. I have been loving tiny books. What I mean by that are books like Little Black Book by Otega Uwagba, We Should All Be Feminists by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, and the Penguin classics that are small and thin and just very quick to get through. I love them because I'm able to read a short, condensed text on a certain subject or short stories that I maybe wouldn't otherwise have read because I don't have to commit too much. The problem is that they're kind of hard to find because searching online doesn't work, and I haven't had too much luck in bookshops either. Thanks for your help." All right, I'm ready for this task because I am the champion.
You're the short book queen.
I am the short book queen. Short books are the best. I've talked about this before, but I just love it when an author is like, "I have an idea. Here's the idea. Goodbye. That was my idea." And I'm like, "Good job, man. Don't drag it out." Yeah. So what did you pick?
Okay, so luckily I had a really good one because I only have this one, basically. Like, I've read Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie's short books, and yeah. I'm like, well, I can't recommend those. Louise has already read them. So I have decided to recommend I'm Afraid of Men by Vivek Shraya.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a great little book that I read last year, I think. It came out in 2018. I read it in 2019. It's 96 pages, so it's not the shortest short book that there is, but it's really good. Vivek Shraya is a trans artist, and she's a musician, she's a writer, poet, all that kind of stuff. And so the book is about her experiences with masculinity in the world, you know, growing up being perceived as male and how that affected her and, you know, the things that she experienced and the things that she experiences now. It's very interesting because it's, you get a perspective of a trans woman of color. So she's, you know, got a lot of odds stacked against her and a lot of, you know, harassment coming her way. So it's very interesting to get into that perspective and kind of understand a different person's perspective on, you know, just walking down the street and, you know, going about her life and being an artist, being someone who is in the public eye. It's very interesting. So it's a great little book that just kind of reflects on gender in general as well. So if that's something that interests you, I highly recommend this book.
Yeah, it's cool. And she's Canadian. Yeah. So
yeah, that too. That's true. I forgot about that.
We've got to scream and shout when people are Canadian. I feel like everyone already knows, but Brian Lee O'Malley, which I talked about a couple ago, Canadian. Okay, well, I had a lot to pick from.
Of course you did.
I did get a little overwhelmed. I didn't know what to do, so I reread. I was like, a short book. It's too broad. And then I reread the other books that Louisa talked about. Mm-hmm. They were all nonfiction. And she said, "I love them because I'm able to read a short condensed text on a certain subject that she wouldn't normally read." And I was like, okay, I think I have the perfect one. And it is Frida Kahlo's I Paint My Reality. This is kind of hard because there's a lot of biographies about Frida Kahlo out there. So just a lot of Frida Kahlo books. So this is the one published by Thames and Hudson. And it has her with a blue background on the cover. Oh God, I love this book. I love this book so much, Raylene. Okay, so as everyone knows, I'm a huge Frida Kahlo fan. There's a lot of reasons for that. The least of all is that I don't really care about her art very much. I don't like her art that much.
Interesting.
I don't hate it, but I don't really like it. I think it's kind of, I really love her self-portrait. Stuff like this, I'm showing Raleen. Yeah. Stuff like this I absolutely love, but a lot of her art is freaking terrifying. It's like really spooky stuff. She had a very difficult life and she just paints like very terrifying things. Her color palettes are very like muddy and I don't really like them. But isn't that weird? I feel like people don't know that. I'm like, I love Frida, but I don't really care about her art that much. I just like her as a person. I find her very, very compelling, very interesting, bisexual, mixed race. I'm like, oh, it's me, just 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Great. So my story with Frida Kahlo it's very short. My boyfriend at the time was going on a phone call, and I didn't want to leave bed, so I needed to do something quiet. And I decided to read something on my phone. And I was like, literally just completely randomly, I was like, you know, everyone's always talking about Frida Kahlo. Mm-hmm. This was a long time, many years ago. What did she even do? What's even her story? Yeah. So I read her Wikipedia page. I read the whole Wikipedia page. And I became so fascinated by her. And I thought, you know what? I don't really read biographies. I can't really remember reading a biography. But I'd love to read a biography about Frida Kahlo. But then I looked up, like, what is the main biography? And it's the Hayden Herrera one, which is, like, freaking 600 pages. And I'm like, okay, well, I want to do the opposite of that. And I found this, I think I bought this in a bookshop. Yeah, I bought it. The back is in pounds.
Nice.
It was £7.95. It's only, like, if we don't count all of these notes at the back, it's only 112 pages long. So, it's really, really short, and it's packed full of images. Mm-hmm. So it's also like, you're going to get through it. But this is, okay, how do I explain this without sounding really cheesy? This, reading a book like this, is why it, like, really, really was a lesson to me. Not just a lesson about Frida Kahlo, but a lesson about how the internet is an amazing resource, but it isn't the full story.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Like, reading a Wikipedia page article about Frida Kahlo is a great starting point, but it shouldn't be the only thing you read about anyone. And reading even just a short biography like this gave me so much more information, intel, details, well-written, etc. Mm-hmm. about her life that I was like, oh my God. It's like, I rely on the internet too much to, like, think I know about things if I don't actually, like, go ahead and read books by experts. Oh, yeah, okay, the name of... Okay, this is so exciting. I forgot... I can never find the name of the person who wrote this book because it's kind of, like, they... I don't know, they don't really care about the writer so much because it's a biography. It's mm-hmm. more just like a textbook. But it's by Christina Burris, B-U-R-R-U-S. Look how tiny her name is.
It's like, we don't care.
Yeah, it's so tiny. Frida Kahlo, I Paint My Reality, Christina Burris. So, again, for Louisa, who said, short books are fun because you learn about something you maybe wouldn't. This is like a deep dive. Learn everything you need to know about Frida Kahlo, about Mexican art, about this period in history. You'll learn some cool things, you'll have some fun times, and you'll come out an expert in Frida Kahlo.
That's great.
Gosh, now I want to reread this. This is really good. I gotta read the thick one, though.
Yeah, you gotta finish that. Didn't you start
it? It's funny, because I did start it. Louisa's talking about Big Book Fear, and I'm so scared of that other book, and I'm like, no, you know what? I'll just reread the short one I already read. Oh,
because
man,
it's easier. Well, those were some good recs. I feel like we got there.
We did good.
We did what we needed to do.
We did good, for sure.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much to everyone for listening. This has been Books Unbound with your hosts, Raylene and Ariel. This episode was edited by CJ Bissett of northernsoundhouse.ca, and our community manager is Mars Grove. We are off to go record Books Unbucket, and this week it's my turn to ask a question. And my question is pretty fun. So... Ariel has made a book spreadsheet, and I'm going to ask her to kind of tell us about her book spreadsheet. Tell us what your graphs are. What kind of information do you have in there? We all need to know. So that's what we're going to talk about over on Books Unbucket. Check it out if you're a patron. If you're not a patron, feel free to sign up so you can listen to us talk about crazy stuff like spreadsheets.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. I got to pull up the spreadsheet.
Get ready. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.